for what the Lord is doing in the hearts of our kids and the hearts of our adults. Amen. Amen. Also want to announce, forgot to mention that we are collecting the items for the nursing home. There's a list back there on the bulletin board if you want to give towards that. Anything that, it's blankets, socks, candies, gifts, all kinds of things listed back there. If your family would like to make a contribution to that, there's a collecting bin back there. That has to be in, I believe, by December 3rd, first part of December. You can check that date. Also, the homeless shelter in town is collecting things. If you would like to give towards the homeless shelter, it's a lot of the same items. And those items can be dropped off in town, or if you're not sure what to do with them, and that's God puts that on your heart to give, you can get it to me and I will see to it that they get it. Amen? There is always so many opportunities to give and to bless people this time of year. Amen. So if you donated to Operation Christmas Child, they sent back ornaments, if you didn't hear that. And you can grab an ornament on your way out and put that on your tree. Amen. Amen. And also there are flyers for the upcoming events for our Christmas dinner and our Christmas program and then our Christmas communion service if you did not get that announcement early. So those are back there as well. Amen. Well, it's so good to be here today. Good to be back in the pulpit. Not that I haven't been in the pulpit, I just haven't been in the pulpit here. And so it's been a great season. We've done some ministry in different churches, and it has just been, it's been a great opportunity to be able to minister in those arenas, some women's conferences, some regular conferences, and things like that. And so I'm just so very thankful for the grace of the Lord on my life. But I'm also grateful that this church is always in good hands as well with worship or word while we're away. I'm just so very thankful that for the word that came forth and those who shared while we were not here. And Dr. Howell shared for 2 weeks for us, and then Jeremy shared a week, and then Miss Morgan last week shared for us. So it's just good. It's good to hear the word of the Lord from different vessels and different hearts. And so I'm very thankful for that. And I want to talk a little bit this morning. I'm not sure if I can get it all done in one Sunday. I know, you're shocked, right? Because I start out trying to do one sermon and it just keeps, you know, unfolding into something else. But I just felt to give opportunity this morning. Is there anybody in the house this morning that you'd just like to give some thanks this morning? It is a season of thanksgiving and being thankful. If you would like to give some thanks this morning. Amen. Amen. So very thankful for God's hand in his life over the last 5 years. Amen. Yeah.
I think for us it's the same thing here, you know. We have people, and I always think about this morning the past victory. You know, Friday I was out in Michigan, and I was like, man, here we go. Thank God it's snowing and raining, and I was focused, and I was listening and just realizing that, look, this too shall pass, and we have so much to be blessed with. You know, we all came from a warm home or a home. When we have a warm place here, we have a team, and the kids teach me all these words like squad, but, you know, everybody in these pews are, you know, going through stuff, and it's, you know, if I can't reach them, because they don't want to hear it, you know. Jackson will drive, and you know, it's like, okay, this is a thing, and, you know, him and Pat are going, you know, hunting, and that's important, but when I can't touch them, the youth and God can touch them, and it's a frustrating.
Absolutely.
Because we get tired, but
Amen.
I just think that there's always something to be thankful for.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You know, I'm sitting here saying, I do a lot. I remember when this building was the second year, going to this building back here. And I remember when we started the youth fellowship back in this little church over here, when God touched my heart. First, He touched my heart one night when I was a sinner. And I ran to my grandmother's house. And I said, "Grandma, I need to get saved." And she said, "Poor crazy boy, what do I do?" I said, "I don't know, Grandma, I need to get saved." And she opened up the book of Psalms, chapter 77, just began to read to me. And it was everything that I was going through. My soul ran in the night. "Why hast thou forsaken me, O Lord?" And that started my journey. But I was thinking of this building. This building always, hasn't always been here. It started with a tent. It was right about where you're standing. And He talks about youth. We had youth from North Carolina all over the place.
Yes, we did.
And I was just thinking of this scorched earth right here, what it started. Nobody will know what this really started, what it's touched. I'm like Andy, I should have been dead. I laid in the hospital emergency room, and the doctor came in and put my scan up on the wall, and he said, "If I had all my medical students right here, they'd say, this man should not be living." And I think about my journey and that I should not be living, but he did not know that there's a man that had his hand on my shoulder.
Absolutely.
There was a spirit that has hovered over me and my family. But I'm so thankful for this. I told Debbie, I said, "Aaron likes to talk to me." They're perfect match.
All good.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the feast that never changes.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful it started in the tent, and the tent moved from here down to the home and all around. But it was a movement. And then I met my wife. That's where I met my wife.
There you go. Get you a wife at church.
I took her to prison before I ever knew her.
Prison ministry. Yep.
I ministered in a prison that I worked in 20 years later.
Yep.
But I told her this morning, I learned so much sitting in prison. If I was to stand up and minister this morning and said, "I served 23 years in prison," all I could do is know me and say, "My God, he's a crazy criminal." And I sit in that prison and I watched and heard the Nation of Israel, Temple 43. A lot of people don't know. If you want to know about religion, go to prison.
He's everywhere.
This fourth church, it went from a tent to a building and changed my heart.
Amen. Amen. He's everywhere. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Somebody, amen. 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 You can't name him. Yes, he has. Amen. Amen.
I think of this song when I look back over my life.
Amen. 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 Peace in her heart. Amen. Amen. Such a treasure. He is enough. Amen. I love that. You save me, I'll serve you. It's really that simple. Amen. But profound. Simple, but profound.
It's home. Where they're from, and where they're at, and
Amen. Welcome home. Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
To me, that's incredible. And I had a lot of anxiety when we came here and Haley started school. And based upon everyone's experience and background, and Andy's wife, I'd see her at school, and I picked Haley up, and we started talking, and then Mr. Mullins, that evaporated all the anxiety.
And we're thankful for you. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Same. Yep. Pay it forward. Yeah. Amen. So, ultimately. I was really like, first a few times, but I really felt like I'm in a leadership position. Y'all heard publicly her say he's in charge. That's what he wants you to know. That. Merry Christmas, Jason. To be the man of the house. Amen. Amen. Yes. The grace of God. It says, don't give up. That, you know, the time frame may not be in your time frame, but trust God to bring it about. Amen? Amen. 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 I love it. I love them some Carson. It's big. That's huge. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's what community does. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't think we realize the power of community. You know, the power of the camera is awesome, but there's something that happens in community. There's something that happens when you gather in the house. There's something that happens when the anointing begins to flow and deep calls to deep, and it starts to touch those places of your heart that nobody else knew were there, but the Holy Spirit does. Aren't you thankful for that? That He begins to pour in the oil and the wine, and before you know it, the tears are flowing. And I have people tell me sometimes, well, man, I would come to church, but all I do when I get there is cry. I said, well, that's the best place in the world to cry then. Come and let it go, you know? You just, there's something about the washing of the water by the word that just washes us from the inside out when the tears start to flow and God begins to touch those places of our heart that sometimes we didn't even know were there that needed touched, or some nobody else knew, or, you know, and to hear the testimonies of folks and to hear, you know, this is what God is doing and I waited a while for this, or this is how God worked it out for me. You know, we don't always understand timelines. We don't always understand the way God is working, but, you know, I am a firm believer that when we pour into, and as you said, it's always been the heart of this house to pour into the next generation. As we pour into the heart of that generation, I am firm believers they will come around and pour back into the heart of our generation, you know, of our generations. As Jason said, there's sometimes I might not have been able to reach my kids, but somebody else could. You know, it's crazy that you can say it the exact same words, but it don't come out to their ears the same way as it does when somebody else says it. You know, it's old mom or old dad or whatever. But isn't it amazing by the time you get to about 24 and 25 how much smarter your parents get? Right? You know, when you're 16, your parents don't know anything. They're not cool. They don't understand. But about the time they start having babies and they start having jobs and careers and houses to run, it's like, it's amazing how much smarter your parents get then, right? You know, and you realize maybe they have been around a little bit. But I'm so very thankful for all the people who have poured into my life or poured into this house, or, you know, even I was thinking, you know, as she was sharing, when we do things like even giving, your giving allows this house to do what it does. And so don't ever underestimate that when you are sowing seed, you are making room. To me, when I sow seed, I'm making room. I'm not sowing for my today harvest. See, the offering I put in, I didn't sow for today. I'm sowing it for the future. When you plant seed, it's down the road when you reap the harvest of that. And when you begin to plant seed and sow into whatever it is, whether it's the house or other people's life, it's for the generation yet to come. That there will always be a place that people can come and to experience the Holy Spirit, experience the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what coming together does. Amen. They're not leaving. They're just going to help with the children's program. So I did make them mad already, and they're going out. They're working with the children's program. So anyway, so I'm very thankful for that. You know, I ask for people to give thanks, and I ask for your testimony, because how many know testimony preaches? Real life preaches. Truth is funnier than fiction. You know, there's sometimes you think you can't make this stuff up. You know, it's just the real truth. It's just the real story. And to hear the witness and the testimony of people, maybe you are somewhere in that journey thinking, if God has done that for them, He can do it for me. If God, you know, it gives us confidence. And I think sometimes we fail to give God the praise and the thanksgiving that He deserves. Thanksgiving is always a humbling time for me. I don't know for anybody else. It's not, you know, it's not really about the turkey and that sort of thing. That's all good. It's really more about the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, but that, anyway, and the homemade bread, yeah, you know, but Thanksgiving is really about a time where we just slow down for a moment, right? We just pause for a moment and say, God, I am so thankful. I am so thankful. I am so appreciative of your grace in my life. That no matter where we are in our journey, that He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, I heard somebody say, well, you know, God will bring this on you so that he can get glory. I don't believe that. I don't serve that kind of God. God does not have to bring sickness on me to get glory, but he will get glory out of what he does in your life in the midst of sickness. And that's what you got to know. He's not bringing you it on you, but he will not waste it. And when we walk through situations in our life of sickness and despair and things like that, he never leaves our side. And out of the ashes, come on somebody, out of the ashes he will bring forth the beauty. He said, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I'm going to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. How many know you are trees of righteousness that are planted? You are planted in your homes. You are planted on your jobs. You are planted in the places God has you. Why? So that you can lift one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt and said, yeah, I had to walk through some things, but I walked through them. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil because you are with me. Come on, somebody. There's a song that says, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't set up a mailbox where you are. You say, I might have come to this, but I'm coming through this. I'm not going to stay where I'm at, but God has taken me to better places. And I have to say, probably everybody in this house this morning can say, I'm in better places today because of the love and the grace of God in my life. Man, I wouldn't have it any other way. I would not have it any other way. But to be able to sit down to come here this morning and say, thank you, God, that you are with me every step of the way. Everything that we face, you don't face it alone. Yes, we face some challenges, but thank God for the army of the Lord that stands behind one another, that walks with one another, that prays over one another, that testifies over one another, and the goodness of God that just shows up. Do you know that you are the hands and feet of Jesus? Yeah. You know, we were sharing this morning, and we were talking about, man, what a treasure and what a blessing it is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I've told this story before. Growing up, I always heard the scripture, it is more blessed to give, what is it, than to receive. And as a kid, I thought, that's backwards. Everybody knows it's greater to give a gift, to get a gift, right? Excuse me. And as a kid, that was my thinking. But I became an adult and I thought, oh, I get this now. Man, it is more blessed to be in a position to be a giver than it is to be in the position to have to be the receiver. And there's nothing wrong with receiving. Amen. And I thank God for the receiving end of it. But man, when I can stand on the other side and said, I want to be the giver. I want to be the one who is giving. I want to be the one who's pouring out. And you know, we have to challenge ourselves sometimes, even because, you know, we're like, no, I don't want that, or I don't need to receive that. I said, look, you're robbing me of a blessing by being able to give out and to be a giver, because I know the benefits and the bounty of having a heart of giving. Come on, somebody in here, that you can find somebody. And I say all the time, I like to be that person that sows sneaky seed. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we talk about Jehovah sneaky, like he just shows up everywhere. How many are thankful that God just sneaks in and shows up right in the middle of a situation? But I like to sow sneaky seed where nobody knows what I'm doing, but I'll plant it over here and I say, I'm going to walk away from that seed. But there'll come a time that I'll walk past by that patch and see where God has brought life and abundance and caused things to grow in ground that somebody plowed, somebody watered, and somebody put a seed into. Amen. I mean, no, it takes all of us to bring a harvest, right? This season of Thanksgiving is all about the harvest. They celebrated the harvest and the goodness of God when the pilgrims and the Indians worked together to make a feast and to celebrate the bounty that God had blessed them with. I mean, they were able to sit at the same table. They were able to share of the same food. And they were able in one accord, in one voice, to lift their voice and say, thank you for the bounty. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you for seed that was sowed. The scripture tells us that one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase, right? He reaps and he gives the increase of that. And I believe he is a God that gives back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, right? Because the more that he gives back in the blessing, the more opportunity you have to pay it forward. Amen? Because that's the thing. If someone has been good to you, find somebody to be good to. Find somebody that you just can come along with an encouraging word. Sow a seed. Buy a gift. Do something in this season. If you want to honor God in this season with your giving, even above and beyond, I believe that the tithes come into the house. But if you want to give, and those tithes go back out of the house, we want you to know that. But if you want to give, you want to sow some seed, find somebody who can't repay you back. Find somebody who can't repay you back. The scripture I'm going to go to today, I think, is, he said, you know, when you invite people to come to your table, don't just invite the elite. Invite somebody who has no way of paying you back. Because if you're doing it for recognition, it's going to be short-lived. But if you invite somebody that can't pay you back, one of these days that person might be in a position to invite somebody that can't pay them back. And how many know that's how the gospel works? That's how the gospel works. It's God. God has made us his hands and his feet in the earth to be instruments of his grace and his glory. And so I'm going to go to the scripture this morning. I'm going to have to skip some of them. So I apologize in advance to the media, but let me just share a couple things real quick, okay? And then maybe next week I'll get deeper. All right? So in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17 through 24, some of you know this already because I shared it back years ago, and it is in the book that we did Unblemished. But how many know in the book of Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17, it says, say to Aaron, for the generations to come, none of your descendants who has a defect may come near to offer the food of his God. Now, if you've been in the Bible studies that we've been doing, you know that you were not allowed to come into the holy place where the table of showbread and things like that were. You were not able to come in there because you had a defect or a blemish. No man who has any defect may come near, no man who was blind or lame, disfigured or deformed, no man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is a hunchback or a dwarf, or who has an eye defect, who has a festering or running sore, or damaged testicles. No descendant of Aaron, the priest, who has any defect is to come near to present the food offerings to the Lord. He has a defect. He must not come near to offer the food of his God. He may eat the most holy food of his God as well as the holy food. Yet because of his defect, he must not go near the curtain or the veil or approach the altar. That's a holy place and most holy place. And so desecrate my sanctuary. I am the Lord who makes them holy. So Moses told this to Aaron and to his sons and to all the Israelites. Pastor Lisa, what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? Go to Luke chapter 4 with me. So let me know, in the Old Testament, under the Levitical priesthood, it was a very strict, stringent laws. There were laws of purification. There were 613, I believe it was, laws of the Old Testament. And if you were in the situation where you had a defect, you were not allowed to operate in the office of priest back in the Old Testament. And so the law, what the law, the scripture tells you what the law could not do. How many know the law had a purpose? It was a tutor. It was for a time and season. But there were things that the law could not do. The law could cover your sin, but it could not remove your sin. It could atone for your sin, but it could not clear your conscience. Amen? And so that was the system that was set in place. Everybody say, until. Until the perfect sacrifice comes along. And so we go to Luke chapter 4. And Jesus stands up in the synagogue, as was his custom, and he begins to read this scripture. It said, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, everybody say Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. How many know sometimes we need to make going to the synagogue our custom? And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And I want you to pay attention to this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me, what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Thank you, Jesus. Then the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today. Everybody say today. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill, church, on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff, but he walked right through the crowd and went his way. Under the book of Leviticus, we just found out all who were disqualified from serving in the temple, right? But when Jesus stands up and to preach and to read from the scrolls of Isaiah, the prophecies of Isaiah, he starts out by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has sent me on a mission to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal those who are blind, to set free those who have been in bondage, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. And today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Man, you would think revival would break out. Man, they're excited because the day of the Lord has come. How many know Jesus came preaching the year of the Lord's favor? Can anybody in here raise your hand today and said, I have favor on my life. I am the Lord's favorite, and my picture is on his refrigerator. Come on, we live in the favor of the Lord. We have so often had a mindset that, oh, when's the other shoe going to drop? When's things going to get worse? Or, oh, man, oh, it's me. I testified in church today, so Monday morning, devil going to be fighting me. The devil has no business even showing up at my door because I know that I live in the favor of God, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and it's upon me. And so he begins to preach that, and you'd think that it would have been a revival breakout, but they get upset. One reason they get upset is because he said, all the lepers in Israel, but the only leper that God healed was Naaman. He was not Jewish. He was a Gentile. All the widows in the time of the famine, the only one God showed up for was a Gentile woman. That blew their mind out of the safety zone, and they're like, what are you saying? You are Joseph's son. You are Jack Hiles' daughter. I know where he came from. Come on, we miss our miracles sometimes because God will put the vessel in front of you that has your healing and has your miracle, and you miss it because you think if it don't come from somebody, if it don't come and the halo doesn't start and the heavens don't sing hallelujah choir, that it's not from God. But I'm going to tell you, God will send somebody show up in the middle of Walmart to lay hands on you and find out your miracle might happen in the least likely place. Because the favor of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. And so they're going to take him to the brow of the hill, church, and push him off the ledge. Because he's not talking like the rest of the religious folks were talking. And so he shows up at the house of a prominent Pharisee for dinner. Okay? And go ahead to Luke 14 for me. Jamie, he shows up at the house of a prominent Pharisee, and this is a big deal to get invited to dinner, right? So he's at the house of this Pharisee. However, there's a person there with what the Bible says is edema. Now, we got doctors and nurses in the house. What does that mean? Swelling, an overabundance of fluid. Either probably connected to the heart or to the kidneys or the combination of both, right? So in the Old Testament, it says if there's someone who is superfluous or has an overabundance of something, Jesus comes to the man who has a heart issue. How many know when the heart is not working properly, the kidneys cannot process the fluid out of your body, right? Jesus comes to a man who has a heart issue. Anybody in here ever had a heart issue? You know what? Well, you know what keeps us the most from experience and understanding the love of God is a heart issue. I'm guilty. I'm broken. I'm blind. I'm crippled. I'm unworthy. And so we feel like we cannot approach God because of our issues. And it's a heart issue. But if you ever get your heart in order that says, He has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them who are bruised. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what? I will give you rest. Anybody in here ever been weary? Two of you, three of us. Thank you. Anybody in here ever been heavy laden? Man, life gets heavy sometimes. It gets heavy and it gets strong and we get weary and heavy laden. But can I tell you, weary doesn't mean weak. Just because we become weary does not mean that my spirit is weak. It means that I need to let my spirit man do the talking today. And so when I start living out of my spirit instead of out of my weariness and my brokenness, all of a sudden I realize I have been accepted in the Beloved. I have not been rejected. There is none of us who stand in here today from the pulpit to the door that are without failure or fault. Can we say amen? Or weakness. Missed an opportunity. Man, don't you wish you could just turn back the hands of time sometime, but it doesn't go like that. There is no rewind or pause button. There's only fast forward. And the older you get, the faster forward it goes. Right? Man, they warned me. Man, when you get older, time flies. Now I understand what they were saying. Not that I've gotten older yet, but I'm starting to approach those boundaries. But here's what happens. This is what I want to get to this morning. And I know I'm not doing this justice, but in Luke chapter 14, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. This is coming from the mouth of the Pharisee whose house he was invited to, a place of prestige and honor. But before he ever gets to this place, Jesus looks at them in the house that he's eating, and he said, there's a man here with edema. He's got a heart issue. There's over an abundance of fluid. Is it lawful for me to heal him on the Sabbath day? Nobody says a word. Because do you know that the thing that Jesus got in trouble the most for in the New Testament was healing people on the Sabbath day? Like the man who created the heavens and the earth doesn't know what day of the week it is.
Come on.
Right? Jesus, look, we got to get you a calendar. We got to get you a sundial or something. I don't know. We got to figure out, you keep doing these things on the Sabbath day. I want to tell you, if it's your son, it's your daughter, it's your sickness, it's your weakness, it's your problem, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to care what day of the week it is, because I will take the blessing and the favor of God any day, any moment, any time of the day and night, because he's not worried about the day of the week. He's not worried about breaking your Jewish laws. He's worried that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Where was it lost? Some of it was lost in the garden. Some of it was lost under the old covenant. Some of it was lost by profession of our mouth. And so he goes in this same setting. He says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, red letter words, pay attention. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent to his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. The turkey's cooked, the mashed potatoes are ready, the stuffing's in the oven, the sweet potatoes are smelling really good. 2 o'clock on Thursday. Come join me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. But they all alike began to make excuses. Stinking thinking. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly. Now catch this, don't miss it. Into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in who? Leviticus chapter 17. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. There is still room at your table. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house, what? Will be full. I tell you that none of those who were invited will get to taste of my banquet. Amen. Under Leviticus, under the old law, you were disqualified for blemishes. One of the first sermons that Jesus preaches when he stands up in the synagogue says, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has sent me to the broken, to the poor, the lame, the blind. And then he gives a parable and he says, all of those who were disqualified under the law, invite them to my table. Yeah. Title of my sermon today is, you have an invitation to the table. Invite them to my table. And so he did. Edema got to come. Lazarus, the dwarf, got to come. The woman with a hunchback, the woman bowed over, she got to come. A running sore, the woman with an issue, she got to come. The man who was born blind, he got to come. Jesus was on a mission in the New Testament to seek out and to save everyone who was lost under an old covenant and invite them to a table. Because can I tell you this morning, if you ever get invited to the Lord's table and you sit down and you start to eat lamb and you start to eat bread and you start to drink the wine, there's something that takes place, that the blind are not blind anymore and the crippled are not crippled anymore and the hunched over are not hunched over anymore and the dwarf is not a dwarf anymore. Why? Because what's on the table is more powerful than what's around the table. Come on, somebody. You haven't been invited to the greatest feast there is this week. You've got an invitation. You say, oh, but Pastor Lisa, I've been blinded. I've been crippled by life. I have things that are festering sores in my heart that need healed. All I can tell you is, come to the table. Come to the table. You know a guy named Mephibosheth? There was a covenant cut between David and Jonathan that he would always look after David would always look after Jonathan's seed. But somebody dropped Mephibosheth in a hurry. Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody dropped him. He didn't know he was invited. He didn't know there was a covenant. Some of you don't know today there's a covenant that was made that you have nothing to do with, but it was sealed in the blood of a spotless lamb. And that lamb is on the table that when Jesus sat down with his disciples and all of them were a broken mess. And he said, guys, this is my body. This is my blood. Take and eat it. Because before they ever had a chance to deny him, doubt him, walk away from him, sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, they had the blood and the bread in their body. Before they ever made the opportunity to fail, God had already sealed the deal with the Lord's table. I got to tell you, what you eat and what you partake of and the table that you gather around this morning is very important to the outcome of how you walk away. Mephibosheth comes to the table and he crawls in. He said, why, King, oh King David, why would you call me to come to the table? Seeing I am as a dead dog. He refers to himself as a dead dog. David says, get up, young man. You will not live with a dead dog mentality as long as I am in charge, because there's a covenant that was cut that you had nothing to do with. And because you are Jonathan's son, I will honor the covenant that I made. And you always have opportunity to sit at my table. Because when you pull up to the Lord's table, there's a linen tablecloth. And that linen speaks of the righteousness of God that covers you and removes as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your sins no more. You ever felt broken? You ever felt like you identified with Leviticus chapter 17? You ever feel like you were excluded from coming into the presence of the Lord because you weren't worthy? Well, I want to tell you this morning, that has been removed. The table has been set. And Jesus takes the bread and he blesses the bread. And then he breaks the bread. And then he gives the bread. And on the Emmaus Road, their eyes are opened in the breaking of the bread. Stand with me this morning. That's what we come together for. Is the breaking of the bread, the understanding of what's on the table. Nothing says loving like loving from the oven. Come on, somebody. Amen. You want to love on somebody? Take them some bread. Take them a pie. Take them, you know. Yeah. If I want to bless my honey, it's going to be fried fish and homemade bread, because that's his love language right there, right? Come on, we are what we eat. And you can feast on the lie. Listen at this. You can feast on the lie that you're not worthy. That you've gone too far, you're too broken, too blind, too lame, too crippled. You can feed on that if you want to. And it will keep you away from His presence. But if you ever just show up at the invitation and say, I'm coming just like I am. All of me to all of you. With my mess, with my brokenness, my weaknesses, I have found that there was a covenant cut that is bigger than me. Mephibosheth didn't even have to do anything, but he did have to show up, and he did have to eat from the table. I want to tell you, there's a table set this morning. There's a table. If you felt broken, if you felt worthless, if you felt like you were excluded, you don't have to feel like that. Because the table is set. The way is made. And opportunity is for you. Amen? As Beth sings something this morning, if you want special prayer, if you need us to help you carry the load, if you need us to pray over you, whatever it is you need, we're here to minister the goodness of God to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.